You might not know this, but Christian men have been called to become watchmen. And as watchmen, you know, I'm not talking about men who are constantly watching TV or constantly watching whatever's popping up on their phone. You know, one of the first things that I do with my phone is I turn off all notifications. Why? Well, because I don't want my phone interrupting me all day long. I don't want my phone distracting me from what's in front of me. You know, and when I get home, you know, if the first thing I do is just turn on the TV, then guess what I'm doing for the rest of the night? Maybe watching the wrong things. We have to be careful. We need to be watchmen in a biblical sense. As watchmen, we've been called to warn others about the evil schemes of Satan. And not only that, but we've also been called to become watchmen who are protecting our Christian congregation, and especially from the false teachers who want to come in and cause the Christians around us to fall away from the faith. And in order to more fully grasp this godly goal, we're going to spend our time this weekend. I want to consider the calling to become watchmen and to understand that what this means is that we need to be ready to sound the alarm about the attacks of the enemy. That's what a watchman does. A watchman stays on guard and looks for the sword. The watchman stays on guard and looks for the enemy coming to attack. The watchman then is ready to warn those that he is standing watch over. And with this as the goal, I want to consider the way that the Lord has called the watchman to protect the people that he loves. We find an example of this on the day when the Lord called Ezekiel to raise up watchmen to watch over the people of Israel. It's actually in Ezekiel chapter 33. There we find the Lord, he's instructing the prophet Ezekiel to raise up watchmen who were equipped to warn the people about the attacks of the enemy. And according to the instructions that the Lord presented to Ezekiel, the watchmen were responsible for warning the people by sounding the alarm, blowing the trumpet, the very second they saw the sword of their enemy. And in this way, the watchman was there to help save the people from the enemy. At the same time, the Lord also spoke to Ezekiel and let Ezekiel know that the watchman who sees the sword coming and does not warn the people by sounding the alarm, then this watchman is responsible for the blood that's shed. If the watchman sees the sword coming and does not sound the alarm, then the people whose lives are destroyed, well, that's on the hands of the watchman. With that being the case, I want to consider the apologetic parallel of what it means to be a watchman here in these last days. Now, you might not know this, but the Apostle Peter actually acted as a watchman as he warned his audience about the deceitful teachers who are here to deceive us. And as we study the scriptures before us this evening, we'll begin to see that watchmen are warning others about the deceptive teachers who declare destructive doctrines. That's that Taco Bell-like burrito I had tonight. Oof. About to make a run for the border. Yo quiero. So watchmen warn others about the deceptive teachers who declare destructive doctrines. Secondly, watchmen warn others about the deceptive teachers that drive people to destructive directions. And then thirdly, the watchmen are to warn others about the deceptive teachers who are leading people to a destructive destination. And so we're talking about deceptive teachers who are leading people towards destructive doctrines, destructive directions, and destructive destinations, because deception is what? It's destructive. Deception is destructive. And with this as the outline, let's open our Bibles to 2 Peter chapter 2. Here we find the Apostle Peter. He's warning the original recipients of this epistle about the deceitful teachers who are teaching deceptive doctrines that are destructive. And listen, as you make your way to the second chapter of 2 Peter, I just want to take some time to provide you with a little bit of context here. It was actually in the first chapter of this epistle where Peter encourages every Christian to embrace the knowledge of the truth, which is found in the prophetic word of God. And then he went on to assure his audience that his testimony about Jesus wasn't based on fictitious mythologies. No, instead, he was providing us here in this epistle with an eyewitness account of the miraculous ministry of our Messiah. And now, here in 2 Peter chapter 2, we find the apostle here, he's warning us about the false teachers who bring deceptive doctrines. But this has the focus, if you would look with me here, beginning at verse 1. Here Peter declares, "But there were also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them, and bring on themselves swift destruction. And many will follow their destructive ways, because of whom the way of truth will be blasphemed. By covetousness they will exploit you with deceptive words. For a long time their judgment has not been idle, and their destruction does not slumber." Now, here in these verses, we find Peter, he's warning us about these false teachers who were already at this point in time in the first century, they're already introducing deceptive doctrines. They're already infiltrating the church here in the first century with deceptive doctrines. And according to Peter, this really should have come as no surprise to them. And the reason why is because there have always been false prophets plaguing the people of God with their deceptive doctrines. For this reason, the Lord led the prophets of God to warn the children of Israel about the deceptive lies of the false prophets. For example, it's in Jeremiah chapter 14. There, the prophet Jeremiah warned the people by declaring, "The Lord said to me, the prophets prophesy lies in my name. I have not sent them, commanded them, nor spoken to them. They prophesy to you a false vision, divination, a worthless thing, and the deceit of their heart." Incredible. The Lord was warning the people through Jeremiah about the false prophets. And again, in Ezekiel chapter 13, the prophet Ezekiel declares, "Thus says the Lord God, woe to the foolish prophets who follow their own spirits and have seen nothing." In Isaiah chapter 9, we find Isaiah, he's warning the people about the prophet who teaches lies. And without debate, you know, the people of God, they've always been plagued by false prophets. Men who rise up and say they have a word from the Lord when they don't have a word from the Lord. That being the case, we should take a moment to ask why. Why did the Lord allow false prophets to come along and deceive his people? Why didn't the Lord just strike them dead on the spot? Put this in mind, if you would hold your place here in Peter's second epistle, I want to consider something that Moses said in Deuteronomy chapter 13. If you would, let's make our way to the 13th chapter of Deuteronomy. And as you make your way to Deuteronomy 13, I just want to take a moment to point out that a false prophet is the person who attempts to convince others that they received divinely inspired information from God, when in fact, they're only presenting the thoughts of their own vain imaginations, and at worst, doctrines of demons. According to Moses, God has a reason, though, for why he allows false prophets to rise up and speak in his name. With this in mind, if you would look with me here at Deuteronomy chapter 13, we'll begin reading there at verse 1. Here Moses declares, "If there arises among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, and he gives you a sign or a wonder, and the sign or the wonder comes to pass of which he spoke to you, saying, 'Let us go after other gods which you have not known, and let us serve them,' you shall not listen to the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams. For the Lord your God is testing you to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. You shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him and keep his commandments and obey his voice. You shall serve him and hold fast to him. Here in these verses, we find Moses. He's helping the children of Israel to understand that the Lord was allowing false prophets to come and present their false proclamations, even allowing them to have some level of satanic power to perform miracles, to confirm their prophecies with signs and wonders. Why? In order to test their hearts. In order to reveal what they're really about. Do you really love the Lord? Do you really believe his word? Do you really hold fast to what he has revealed? Or are you just blown to and fro with every wind of doctrine because some snazzy dressed, smiley, big tooth person comes along and makes all kinds of incredible promises and has the bank account to prove that their faith is so strong that they've got the biggest house in the world and more planes than they need and these sorts of things? Do you really believe what God says in his word? Or are you more motivated by the promises of false teachers? The Lord allowed false prophets to rise up within the ranks of Israel to test the hearts of his people. And in similar fashion, the Lord is allowing false teachers today to declare deceptive doctrines in the church in order to test the hearts of those who profess to be followers of Jesus Christ. Now, to prove my point, let's make our way back to 2 Peter chapter 2. I want to focus your attention once again at verse 1, because here again, Peter declares, there were also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you. Now, in order to understand what Peter is saying here, we should take a moment to consider these words, even as, there in the middle of this verse. Peter was actually using a Greek conjunction, which can also be rendered likewise or just like. It's for this reason that the scholars who created the Christian Standard Bible, they rendered the beginning of verse 1 in this way. There were indeed false prophets among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you. In other words, the false teachers today are serving the same purpose as the false prophets found in the Old Testament, because it's just as. Just as the Lord allowed the false prophets during the Old Testament times, he is now allowing for the same purpose false teachers in the church today. In order to understand what I'm saying here, let's take another look at verse 1. Here again, Peter tells us that there were also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you who will secretly bring in destructive heresies. What's Oprah's book? The Secret? They will secretly bring in destructive heresies. That word heresies was translated from a Greek word which was used in reference to any dissension arising from a diversity of opinions and aims. Heresies are the doctrinal deviations that cause discord and divisions amongst the disciples of Christ. Well, it's true that the church has been divided into different denominations by a myriad of non-essential doctrines, the Apostle Peter was clearly concerned about the heresies that he defines as being destructive. That word destructive, it's translated from a Greek word which was used to describe the miserable state of those who suffer the torments of hell. For example, this is the same Greek word that the Lord Jesus used in Matthew chapter 7. There he declares, "Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction." And in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, Paul used this the root of this same word when he referred to those who would be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. And in light of these verses, we can see that the word destruction, it has to do with everlasting torment. It's not about annihilation, but it's an everlasting state of being destroyed. No longer useful for the original intent. But that being the case, a destructive heresy is any false doctrine that could cause a person to end up in hell. And to further prove my point, we should consider something that the Apostle John wrote in his first epistle. So hold your place here in 2 Peter. Let's turn in our Bibles to the fourth chapter of 1 John. You see, it's here in 1 John chapter 4. Here we find the Apostle John. He's warning the first century church about the false teachers who at that point in time were denying the physical incarnation of Christ Jesus. And as we examine these verses, we'll see that the physical incarnation of Christ Jesus then is an essential doctrine, and any doctrine that would deny the physical incarnation of the Logos, well, this would be a destructive doctrine. Let's consider how John puts it here in 1 John chapter 4. Look with me there, beginning at verse 1. Here John declares, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is now already in the world." John here was helping his audience to understand that the physical incarnation of the Lord Jesus Christ is an essential doctrine that every true believer embraces and will confess. At the same time, it's also important to understand that the world is filled with false teachers. We're attempting to convince us that Jesus is not the physical incarnation, that he is not the physical incarnation of the infinite Logos of God. Not only that, but false teachers will also deny the essential doctrine of Christ's redemptive sacrifice. And with this in mind, let's turn back to 2 Peter chapter 2. I want to take another look here at verse 1. Here, Peter tells us that there were also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you who will secretly bring in destructive heresies. Notice, even denying the Lord who bought them. Just to be clear, it'll help you to know that the word bought, well, that's translated from a Greek word, which could also be rendered redeemed. This is the same Greek word that John used in Revelation chapter 5, where we find the saints of God singing the praises of our Savior who has redeemed us. He bought us by his blood. He redeemed us to God by his blood. Simply put, it was there on the cross where Christ Jesus settled the sin debt of those who trust in him. And according to Peter, there are false teachers who deny this essential doctrine of Christ's redemptive work. And we should also notice that these false teachers will secretly bring in destructive heresies as they deny the Lord who bought them. In other words, the false teachers who attempt to infiltrate the church with destructive doctrines, they don't just show up and announce themselves as being wolves, right? They don't just show up and say, "Here I am. I'm a false teacher. I'm a servant of Satan. Can I teach a Bible study from the pulpit?" Right? It's not the way it normally works. No, they're more like ravenous wolves who show up dressed in sheep's clothing. In other words, they're wolves who want to have the appearance of being a sheep. So they're going to do their best to blend in with the fellowship. And yet their agenda, their goal is complete destruction of anyone who will follow them. And it's so sad to say that there are many in the church today who are happy to follow after these false teachers. And One reason why is because they're all oftentimes winsome and oftentimes charismatic and oftentimes attractive and, you know, all the things that I'm not. False teachers are happy to tickle the itching ears of discontent disciples. And I just can't even be bothered with that nonsense. And knowing that there are false teachers who have infiltrated the church, true believers need to be watchmen. True believers need to be watchmen. What's that you're doing? Enneagram? Stop it. Who's that you're listening to? Joyce Myers? Paula White? Knock it off. You're following. You want to go spend $5,000 on Benny Hinn's birthday party? No, just give that money to your church. We need to be those watchmen who are willing to take that stand and say, stop following these false teachers. Oftentimes, you know, men, you know, can choose to be silent. Some men, not so much, but many men, you know, would rather be the church mouse that's just kind of silent in the corner. You see something that's going wrong. You see something that doesn't add up, but you won't take that bold stand to be a watchman. And so you just let it go. You just let people just be deceived. We need to stop this. We need to stop being these milquetoast Christians who are unwilling to offend others. And I'm not saying be an offensive Christian. I'm just saying that we need to be willing to be the watchman, to blow the trumpet, to sound the alarm, because there are deceptive teachers who want to come in and destroy our church. And I'm here to tell you that many divisions, and we're going to have another lesson on division, so I don't want to, you know, get too far ahead of the retreat here, but there are many who their very purpose is to come in and create division. And men, listen, you know, sometimes we get involved with that, but oftentimes who's really getting involved in these divisions? Our wives. They get caught up in the midst of all of this and start taking sides against one another and these sorts of things. And we sit back and just let it happen because that's easier. That's just easier. Then we'll see how it all plays out. So what? You're going to watch your church being destroyed by false teachers that, you know, pit people against people and cause emotions to flare? And we need to be watchmen. And if we see the sword coming, we need to sound the alarm. There are deceptive teachers who are declaring destructive doctrines. And not only that, but there are deceptive teachers who are also driving people towards a destructive direction, and we need to warn the church about them when we see it. And in order to explain what I mean, let's consider again what Peter is presenting here in 2 Peter chapter 2. Look with me again, beginning at verse 1. Here Peter declares, "But there were also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them, and bring on themselves," what? "Swift destruction. And many will follow their destructive ways, because of whom the way of truth will be blasphemed." Peter here is helping his audience to understand that those who embrace destructive doctrines will end up heading in a destructive direction. And this is precisely the point that Peter is making. And it's verse 2 there where he says that there's these deceptive teachers who are bringing in destructive ways. That word destructive is translated from the Greek word that Peter used back in verse 1, where he warned the church about the destructive heresies, which would result in swift destruction. Simply put, those who embrace destructive doctrines will end up heading in a destructive direction. To prove my point, let's consider the mass suicide that took place in a San Diego suburb just 26 years ago. It was March the 27th, 1997, when 39 members of the Heaven's Gate cult, they were discovered dead in their cult compound. And the reason for their untimely death was due to the fact that they followed the deceptive teachings of a man named Marshall Applewhite. Applewhite convinced his followers to believe that aliens were coming to save them in a spaceship, which was hidden behind the Hale-Bopp comet. And these people went, oh, okay. He assured them that suicide was the only way to board the spacecraft. And as a result, 39 people consumed a lethal dose of barbiturates and vodka as they waited for their alien saviors. It's tragic. It's tragic. And as we consider the tragedy of this event that took place in recent history, it's important to understand that Marshall Applewhite didn't attract his adherents by presenting them with a suicide pact. He didn't put up a flyer and say, hey, we're going to all commit suicide. And he didn't invite people to a mass suicide party. No, instead, he simply promised salvation to those who would join his crew as they waited for their alien saviors. And it's sad that his followers failed to realize that Applewhite was actually a deceiver. He was just a deceiver who was presenting them with destructive doctrines. As a result, they allowed his destructive doctrines to lead them down this destructive path, which ultimately led to their destruction. Led to their demise. Now, this is an extreme example of the way in which destructive doctrines lead people down a destructive path. And while it's true that the average person is not going to go out and join some sort of suicidal UFO cult, it's also true that the majority of people in the world today are headed down a destructive path. And the reason why is because they've embraced the destructive doctrines of a false teacher. And while this is most certainly true of those who deny the deity of Jesus Christ, it's also true that the church is currently filled with people who are following the destructive ways of other sorts of deceptive teachers. And to prove my point, if you would hold your place here in 2 Peter chapter 2, I want to consider the way that Paul explains this in 2 Timothy chapter 4. So if you would, let's turn to the fourth chapter of 2 Timothy. As you're making your way there to the fourth chapter of 2 Timothy, I just want to take a moment to point out that the 21st century church really no longer seems to be concerned about the infiltration of false teachers. I mean, there are some who are apologetic-minded and some who are concerned about false teachers in their church and whatnot. But by and large, you know, Christianity has turned into kind of a consumer feel-goodery, you know, where it's about the party, it's about the, you know, the hangouts. It's just about the warm, fuzzy feelings of community and these sorts of things. And listen, I love all of that. But meanwhile, the enemy is preparing to destroy our churches with false teachers. And if you're not paying attention to what's really happening, you know, within the Christian church, at least here in America, man, it's dark. To see what's happening within the Christian church right now, and the way that so many churches are embracing extreme liberalism, it amazes me. And yet so many people are just sitting back like, yeah, this is what the church has always been about. So, Shiana, we've always done it this way, you know? It's for this reason that Paul instructs Pastor Timothy how to protect the church against these false teachers who are bringing in deceptive doctrines. It's here in 2 Timothy chapter 4. Look with me there at verse 1. Here Paul declares, "I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the Barbie movie and be..." Oh, I'm sorry. This is the message. Here's the New King James. Kid you not, right after that movie, dropped, I did a joke that Sunday about churches teaching a Barbie movie message series. And sure enough, that next Monday, I saw a report on at least three churches who just kicked off their Barbie movie message. It's just like, oh, I knew it. I'm not saying it was prophetic, but it was prophetic. "I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word." Not your life stories, not your experiences, not your best jokes. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. In other words, whether it's convenient or inconvenient, or you might put it like this, whether it's in vogue or not, whether this is what people want to hear or not, doesn't matter. "Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and teaching, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to summer movie messages." Because that's fun. Now listen, I'm not saying that you can't use movies as illustrations. I do it all the time. But listen, I'm not here to put on some sort of movie-driven message series that is extra biblical and barely touches the Bible at all. No, we need to preach the word. Plain and simple. Why? Because the word equips us to spot heresy. If you want to know what a false teacher sounds like, then know what the Holy Spirit sounds like. And the words of the Holy Spirit are found here in the Word of God. If you know the Word of God, then you know the voice of the Holy Spirit. And if you know the voice of the Holy Spirit, then you know when you hear a false teacher. And as we consider Paul's prophecy, I believe that the 21st century church is fulfilling it. Because now we do find the fastest growing churches are typically the churches that barely touch the Bible at all. You see, they have a budget. And in order to maintain the money to underwrite that budget, they have to have a large congregation. And you're not going to have a large congregation if you're really teaching the truth of God's word. Because when you teach line by line and verse by verse, there's many things that offend many people. And I don't think we need to be offensive just for the sake of being offensive. But we do need to teach the word, even if it offends. And yet many churches have continued to embrace the false teachers who exchange sound doctrine with destructive heresies. Why? Because that kind of message won't chase off people who have itching ears. With that being the case, we should pay careful attention to the statement that Paul makes there in 2 Timothy 4, verse 4. There he tells Timothy, they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. In other words, don't blame the false teachers. Why do false teachers have giant congregations? Because the people turn their ears away from the truth and then go and seek out false teachers. Why are there so many false teachers with so much money? Why does Jesse Duplantis have the largest house in Louisiana? Because people turned their ears away from the truth and they went and found a false teacher that tells them what they want to hear. What they fail to understand is that when you follow the deceptive doctrines of false teachers, you're on a path that leads to destruction. In order to further explain my point, we should consider an argument that Paul presents to Pastor Timothy. If you would continue holding your place there in Peter's second epistle, and let's turn in our Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 6. And as you make your way to the sixth chapter of 1 Timothy, I want to take a moment to remind you that the devil can no longer claim the soul of those who trust in Jesus Christ. And that's great news. The devil can no longer claim the soul of those who trust in Jesus Christ. And if you've been born again by faith in Jesus Christ, then you can rejoice in knowing that we no longer need to fear the condemnation of everlasting destruction because we've been sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Until when? Until the day of our redemption. That's what Paul says. And if you want to believe you can lose your salvation, have at it. Enjoy that roller coaster. But I know that because I've placed my faith in Jesus Christ and I've placed my hands into my life into his hands, that I've been sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. And that which I've committed into his hands, he's faithful to keep. And the work that he started in me, he's faithful to complete. And enough said. That's all I need to know. At the same time, though, it's crucial for every Christian to realize that the devil and his demons are sending their servants into the church so that the body of Christ might be destroyed from within by the destructive heresies of deceptive teachers. And in this way, the enemy is attempting to keep every Christian from accomplishing the Great Commission, because while he no longer has a claim on your soul, he can distract you long enough so that you can no longer be effective in the lives of anybody else. So while he might consider you a loss, he can at least keep you from leading others to Jesus just by sending you down a path that leads to destruction. And it's sad that many believers have wandered from the narrow path of righteousness simply because they were duped by the destructive doctrines of demons. They got caught up chasing wealth, or they got caught up chasing fame and fortune, or whatever the case. Or they just spent the rest of their lives arguing Calvinism versus Arminianism. Have fun with that rabbit trail. Let me know when you got it all figured out. With that, we should consider the warning that Paul presents here in 1 Timothy chapter 6. Look with me there, beginning at verse 3. Here Paul declares, "If anyone teaches otherwise and does not consent to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which accords with godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but is obsessed with disputes and arguments over words, from which come envy, strife, reviling, evil suspicions, useless wranglings of men of corrupt mind and destitute of the truth, who suppose that godliness is a means of gain. From such withdraw yourselves." Paul was warning Pastor Timothy about the false teachers who saw no problem coming into the church, introducing doctrines that failed to line up with the wholesome words of the Lord Jesus Christ. And knowing that there were false teachers there in the first century who were attempting to infiltrate the church with these false doctrines, Paul encouraged Timothy, Pastor Timothy, to stand as a watchman and protect his fellowship by withdrawing from every deceiver, and especially those who were preaching covetousness rather than contentment. Matter of fact, look with me again, 1 Timothy chapter 6. Beginning at verse 6, Paul declares, "Now godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and clothing, with these we shall be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness, and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Here in these verses, we learn that there were Christians there in the first century who were already straying from the faith. And the reason why is because they had embraced the destructive doctrines of the false teachers who were telling them that the Lord wants Christians to be rich and healthy and wealthy while we're here in this world. And so rather than continuing to serve our Savior in the way that they ought to, they started pursuing their own personal wealth. Rather than realizing that the blessings of the Lord are poured out on the believer who learns how to be content with the provision of the Lord, they strayed from their faith and their greediness and headed in this destructive direction, and their hearts were pierced through with many sorrows. And it's sad that the church is still plagued by false teachers who are assuring us that godliness is a means of gain. For example, Joel Osteen once assured his flock while smiling that, and I quote him here, God wants us to prosper financially, to have plenty of money, to fulfill the destiny he has laid out for us. God wants you to have lots of money. There's no verse. Maybe he was reading from 2 Thessalonians. But it's not, you know, our Bible. James even tells us that God has chosen the poor to be rich in faith. Huh. Creflo Dollar doesn't like that. This is what he said. Some people say it's about peace, joy, and love. No, it's about money. Dollar bill, y'all. Gloria Copeland perfectly presented the prosperity gospel when she declared, give $10 and receive $1,000. Give $1,000 and receive $100,000. I know that you can multiply. Wrong, I can't without a calculator. But she says she has faith that I can multiply. And she says, I want you to see in black and white how tremendous the hundredfold return is. That's right. It's not in the red letters. It's in the black and white letter somewhere, apparently. These people are charlatans. They're false teachers. They're exploiting the greediness of Christians who don't know how to be content. That's all it is. And in light of these examples, it's important for us to understand that the church is still plagued by these false teachers who see godliness as a means of gain. And just as Paul promised, many in the church today are heaping up these teachers who are happy to tickle our ears, tell us what we want to hear with destructive doctrines that encourage us to pursue the wealth of this world rather than the spiritual wealth that comes from a relationship with Jesus Christ. And it's for this reason that many in the church today have strayed from the faith, all in an attempt to pursue their greedy desires for more. Now, I'm not suggesting that they've lost their salvation. Maybe they were never saved to begin with. But at the same time, Christians can backslide. I mean, I know that's true because I'm looking at many of you. Listen, we backslide. We get off focus. It's true. We get led astray by false teachers because they tell us something that we wanted to hear. And so we have to be careful. And we have to become watchmen. We have to become watchmen who know what the truth is so that when we hear what's false, we can sound the alarm. And we need to sound the alarm so that we can help people to escape the destructive doctrines that result in a destructive direction. Thirdly and finally, I want to consider how deceptive teachers are leading people towards a destructive destination. And with this as the focus, let's make our way back to 2 Peter chapter 2. Here we find the Apostle Peter. He's describing the way that deceptive teachers are leading people towards a destructive destination. And I want to look again, beginning at verse 1. Here again, Peter declares, "But there were also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them, and bring on themselves swift destruction. And many will follow their destructive ways, because of whom the way of truth will be blasphemed. By covetousness, they will exploit you with deceptive words. For a long time, their judgment has not been idle, and their destruction does not slumber." Now, here in verse 3, we learn that the false teachers who are encouraging people, the people of God, to pursue the wealth of this world, well, listen, they're less interested in helping us to get rich, and they're more interested in acquiring our money. That's right. It's really not about their desire to help you get rich. It's that they're playing on your desire to be rich by making you promises that if you give your money to them, then they will put in a good word for God for you so that you can get the hundredfold increase. And I like the way that the scholars who created the King James Version, they render verse 3 in this way: "Through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you." Oh, man. Yeah. With covetousness, they will present deceptive words as they make merchandise of Christians. And if you want to know what I'm talking about, just go to the Christian bookstore. I'm not saying all the books at the Christian bookstore are bad. There's a lot of good stuff there. But man, is there a ton of heresy there. And the Christian bookstore owners don't care. They're making merchandise out of you, because you got to get the Duck Dynasty book and the Duck Dynasty pen with the little duck on it. And you got to get the Duck Dynasty, how to baptize people and save them. And you got to get the Duck Dynasty, how to join the Church of Christ. And you got to get the Duck Dynasty camo Bible. And you got to get the Joyce Meyer prophecy book, and you got to get the Oprah coloring book, and you got to get the little fuzzy pillow with the Bible verse on it that says, godliness with contentment is great gain. Oh, wait, they never made that pillow? Nope. Because, you can't really properly nest as a Christian unless you have, pictures that you paid too much money for from Mardell's, and they're making merchandise of us. And we eat it up. But all of this is just, based on the greed of those who want to make money off of us. I like the way that Paul described the greed of these false teachers. It's Titus chapter 1. He tells Titus that there are many insubordinate, both idle talkers and deceivers, especially those of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole households, teaching things which they ought not for the sake of dishonest gain. Yeah, Paul was concerned that there were deceptive teachers who were subverting entire households. And it's sad that, the goal of these false teachers is just to make money. They want to make money off of gullible people who don't really realize that they're being deceived. Why? Well, because, they talk about Jesus, and they talk about faith, and they talk about grace, and they talk about all the things that I hear at church. And so they must be of God, right? Not necessarily. This reminds me of my own grandmother, who gave all of her money to the prosperity preachers that she loved so much on TBN, which of course stands for the Big Hair Network. She gave everything to them. She helped Jesse Duplantis buy the biggest house in Louisiana. Because they promised her that she would receive a hundredfold increase on every dollar that she sent, and she died broke. She died penniless after giving her money to these false teachers who live in massive mansions. And it breaks my heart to say that the church is filled with people who can share similar stories. Chances are we all know someone who has suffered financial ruin after giving their money to some sort of prosperity preacher or other charlatan. Or maybe today it's that we're giving all of our money to the promise that electric cars will save the planet. What? I get to buy an overpriced golf cart and so that I can sit at a charging station for 3 hours before I can get on about my business? Sign me up. Listen, if you drive a Tesla, it's a wonderful car. They go fast and they're pretty. But there are many people out there buying these cars because they've been promised, they're told it's going to save the world. So yeah, am I willing to spend $20,000, $30,000, $40,000 more on a car because it's going to save the world because of this, you know, false teaching? I'm on a tangent now, but listen, we've never had more electric cars on the road and it's never been hotter. Do your own math, but something's not adding up. Okay, back onto the study here. We are easily deceived. What's that? The seventh shot's going to do it for me? We promise the seventh shot's a brand new shot. You will not get COVID twice. So, all right, well, you say so. We're easily deceived by people who tell us what we want to hear. My mom was duped. Grandma convinced my mom that the prosperity gospel was true. And so when she got cancer, they just named and claimed her healing and waited for it to happen. And then she died at the age of 33. You know, because she embraced the deceptive doctrines that destroyed her life. And I know I'm going to see her in heaven. I know she was a Christian. But she followed the deceptive doctrines of false teachers and it destroyed her life. And I know that there are many Christians who have strayed from the faith because they're following the false teachers who exploit us for our own dishonest, you know, for our own selfish reasons. And I don't believe they lost their salvation, but I do think that they wandered from the narrow path and they're serving their own selfish interests rather than our Savior. We would do well to be watchmen who are saying, hey, you're on the wrong path. You're on a path that is going to destroy your life. It's going to destroy your family. It's going to destroy your church. Christians who embrace the destructive doctrines of deceptive teachers are headed in a destructive direction, which will ultimately end in destruction. For some, this might be financial ruin. For others, this might be an untimely death. Or it could be familial destruction. It could be the destruction of their business, whatever it is. Christians who embrace the deceptive teachings of false teachers are failing to realize that these destructive doctrines of deceivers always result in destruction. To prove my point, let's look again here at 2 Peter chapter 2. Look with me again at verse 3. Here again, Peter declares, by covetousness, they will exploit you with deceptive words. For a long time, their judgment has not been idle, and their destruction does not slumber. Their destruction does not slumber. Peter here is reminding his readers that it's only a matter of time until every false teacher is judged and punished. And it's also interesting that the word destruction found there in verse 3, it's translated from the same Greek word that Peter used back in verses 1 and 2. And so it seems to me here that Peter's referring to the swift destruction that he mentioned in verse 1, which I'll remind you is a reference to the everlasting torment, which is experienced by those who end up cast into the lake of fire. So their destruction does not slumber, meaning it's waiting for them. It's wide awake and it's waiting for them. And at the same time, it's important for us to realize here that they leave a path of destruction behind them. And so the Christians who are caught up in their wake will also experience some of that destruction along the way. That being the case, we should take a moment to ask, if the deceptive teachers who declare destructive doctrines are headed in a destructive direction towards a destructive destination, then how will this affect the believers who follow after their teachings? Well, it's going to result in some level of destruction. It might not be the everlasting destruction of the lake of fire. But it certainly could result in destroyed families, destroyed churches, destroyed lives here in this world. With that, I want to consider something that Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7. It's verses 13 through 15, where Jesus says this: enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. Here we find Christ Jesus acting as a watchman by warning us about the false teachers who infiltrate the church. And just to be clear here, the Lord is informing us about the way that they will camouflage themselves to look like Christians. He calls them wolves in sheep's clothing. That's right, they're wolves, but they're dressed in sheep's clothing. So they look like Christians, but when they open their mouth, that's when you realize that they're bad. They're bad teachers. Yes. All right. Feeling a little sheepish after that one, but I would say watch out for the wolves while you're here, because there's rumors. But anyway, so, well, the Lord's warning us. Jesus was the watchman who rose up and said, watch out, because there will be wolves, ravenous wolves, who will dress to look like Christians. They will speak to sound like Christians. They will attempt to deceive flocks as they prepare to destroy the church that they've infiltrated. And so we should heed the Lord's warning about these deceptive teachers. And at the same time, we should also be watchmen who are repeating the same warning. We should warn the people in our church just as Jesus has warned us. If we see the sword coming, if we spot the wolf in sheep's clothing, we need to sound the alarm before the enemy attacks and destroys our fellowship. With this as the goal, I want to encourage you in closing to invest some of your time getting equipped so that we know how to spot the deceptive doctrines of demons. Listen, If you know more about sports stats than you know about Christian apologetics, there's something wrong. If you know more about video game cheat codes than you do about Christian apologetics, your life's out of balance. If you know more about movies, if you know more about electricity and how lights work, I don't know what just happened, but I can tell you about Christian apologetics. I don't know what just happened with the lights, but I can tell you how to present Christian arguments that are rational for the defense of the gospel message. See? And I'm not saying that there's something wrong with sports stats or video games and these sorts of things. I'm just saying what's more important to you in your life. And if the defense of the gospel and the ability to share our faith and be watchmen for the church and our families, if that's not a priority over all of these other things, then I encourage you in the closing of this study to get your priorities straight. Because we are living in the last days. And the wolves are going to get worse. And the deceptions are going to be darker. And many are going to fall away in the great apostasy, as we've already seen. And so men, we need to get equipped. We need to be able to defend our faith. We need to be able to spot the heretics so that we can sound the alarm. With that, I remind you in closing, watchmen warn others about the deceptive teachers who declare destructive doctrines. Watchmen warn others about the deceptive teachers who drive people in a destructive direction. And watchmen warn others about the deceptive teachers who lead people towards a destructive destination. With that being the case, let's become watchmen so that we can help others avoid the destruction of deception.